to a Thursday edition of Renegade Radio. We are here at noon, and we are ready to talk about breaking the rules of conventional thinking, getting outside of traditional norms to create success in life and in business. And today's show is brought to you by Renegade Concepts and the good folks here at Business Radio X. As always, I am your host, Andy Lowe. So if things go off track today, you'll have only me to blame. But I think we got a couple great guests that'll pick up any slack I leave. And I'd like to introduce them right now so we can get rolling with our show. We've got Shelley Brown. She's from The Social Bug. And Mike Davis from the Country Club of Roswell. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show today.
Thank you.
Thanks, Andy.
Well, let's dig right in. So we'd like to start off with our guests by finding out a little bit about who they are and what they do, and we'll go with the ladies first format here today. And Shelley, I'm going to start with you. Tell us a little bit about the social bug. I keep putting the on there. It's like Facebook, drop the, right? It's just social bug. All right, so tell us about social bug and what you guys do with social media.
Okay, well, thanks, Andy. We help companies manage their social media accounts. We focus on business branding and also content marketing, which really all three of those go in, work hand in hand with each other. But we focus on working with, companies to help them build their online brand image and attract more clients with using social media.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit because, there's a divide, I guess, out there, right? There's people that use social media and it's not branding. It's more of just like, hey, I'm here. I don't know what to say, so I tweet goofy stuff, I post pictures, right? Talk to us about how do you actually use social media to brand your business?
Well, it starts out with having a plan. And I think where most companies go wrong is that they actually treat social media, they don't treat it like another marketing type of method. There's no plan. They randomly, are putting out messages and with no clear direction on who are they even trying to attract and what kind of image are they trying to portray. And it definitely requires, having a plan, whether that be, a 30-day plan or a 90-day plan on what you're trying to accomplish over the 90-day period so that you make sure that your message stays, that you're in sync with what your message is for your company.
Well, that's a real interesting comment that you made there because I think it does highlight something. If you look at most companies, they tend to have a marketing plan or they have a marketing person or they've contracted outside to a marketing organization. But yet social media, people tend to try to manage that on their own. What are some of the mistakes that happen when you start trying to handle social media on your own versus having a strategy?
Well, for one, it just can be absolutely overwhelming. A business owner, or even a small marketing team or a marketing person, you're already stretched thin. You're probably already putting in 40 hours a week. And so then you're adding another task and something. And social media is changing so much that it really requires you to be, you've got to stay on top of it because it's changing every day with how, with new social media platforms coming out, like Pinterest is the next, that's the big one now that a lot of people are talking about. So it definitely takes that, making sure that, that's the biggest challenge. And then I think the other thing where most businesses use social media, I guess, incorrectly would be that they treat it just like if they are putting out a message consistently, it's more of a sales type of message. Social media, it needs to be social. It needs to, your customers need to get to know you more personally, know the business more personally even, rather than it being all about your sales message being broadcasted over and over again.
Yeah, that's a great point. I want to come back to that one. I want to back up a half a step. Something else that you said that caught my attention there. You talked about it being one more thing to do, and then you mentioned marketing people. Do you find a lot of this in business where this is simply being added to the marketing person's to-do list? And it's like, oh, well, you're a marketing person, or you're handling all our marketing, so handle our social media too. And is that a good decision, bad decision?
Well, it could be either way. I mean, what you normally find is that it's either the marketing person is the one that's being tasked with it, or in a lot of companies that I've come across, it's actually maybe the administrative, person is actually being tasked now with social media.
You're just answering the phone. Go ahead and send some tweets while you're sitting there, right?
Absolutely. Okay. And, that's just a recipe for disaster. if marketing people, if they can differentiate the fact that social media is different than some other types of marketing, and are able to kind of separate that and realize the differences in it and stay on top of it, then a marketing person, possibly could handle the social media as well. It really just depends on the company and the person that you've got in place.
Right. So that goes back to having a strategy. You need to
Absolutely.
Have a sound strategy so that no matter who's handling it, there's a clear direction.
Absolutely. I mean, that's definitely the biggest problem that I see with my clients is that there's no focused direction with what the campaign needs to be.
Now, how do you approach the fact that there are a lot of arms to social media? I mean, when people say social media, big things come to mind like Twitter, Facebook, maybe LinkedIn, but there are a lot of other pieces of social media, including things like Yelp or Angie's List or any number of other organizational type websites where you can get information, reviews, you can interact with clients. How does a person even begin to approach, especially the sites that they're represented on, without necessarily intention? Like, I can control if I create a Facebook page,
right,
but if I show up in Yelp, maybe I don't have as much control over that.
Absolutely. Well, as far as knowing, I guess, what consumers are talking about with your company, especially when it comes to Yelp and some of those type of review websites where people can be leaving good or bad negative reviews about your company, one of the easiest things to do is to actually use Google to set a Google alert so that your name, your business name, if someone's talking positive or negative about your company and actually mentioning your company anywhere on the web, you can set notifications where you can receive a notification every day, every week, every month for your brand, for your business name. So that's a good place to start. And then, I think that a lot of times companies try to do everything. They want to be on all the social media networks. And, that's not really the case. It really comes down to where is your target market. If you're a business professional, like an accountant, then you're probably, not going to find a lot of contacts. You might not be reaching a lot of people, even with Facebook. You might see better results with LinkedIn and something like that. So it depends on where is your target market, and then we always help narrow down to make sure that those are the social media sites in particular that we're focusing on.
Now, when we see a business come about, a new business or what have you, or maybe a business that's been around for a while, but they suddenly decide, hey, we need to get in the social media game.
Right.
We see them kind of dive right in with 2 feet. Are there any businesses that they either don't belong in social media or at the very least they're not ready for it yet? And if so, how do you know if you're one of those businesses?
I really think that all companies can find a place in social media. And as a business, you've got to go where the consumers are. The consumers are on social media. So I know a lot of people kind of dig their heels in. They are fighting it. They do not want to be on, using Facebook or anything like that for business. But consumers are out there. They're talking, that's where they are. And they're talking about your business. It's all a matter of whether you want to be part of the conversation or not, is really kind of what it comes down to. And I can't remember, what was the second part of your question there?
Well, just, if there are companies that either shouldn't be out there or if they're just not ready to be out there yet. And I guess part of that is defining who your target market is.
I think your target market, I would say that the companies that really need to, the companies that are hurt the most by social media are the ones that maybe are not the most customer-focused type of companies, poor customer service, whether they realize it or not. If you go onto a review site and you see negative reviews about your business, you have a customer service issue. And, if you, until you kind of get on top of that, the last thing you want to do is add another social media platform for people to continue to, give you bad press. So you want to get that customer service issue handled internally before you start, I guess, exposing your business even more.
Well, let's talk about that negative piece. I mean, so you put yourself out there on social media, and even if your customer service isn't completely horrible, I mean, maybe it is decent. I mean, right, let's be honest. We've got a lot of people that will complain even if you give them great service. It's just human
Absolutely.
Nature, right? What do you do when you start getting negative comments and negative reviews out there in the social media world? How do you handle that as a business?
The way that I really work with my clients is we address the problem head on, and you do take it into account because there are complainers out there, and there are some people that you just cannot please. It doesn't matter what you do. You may have provided great service, and they write a negative review about you. We address it head on in the fact that we do bring it to the business owner's attention. For one, the business needs to be aware that this is being said. So if there actually is an issue, they can handle it. And then the other part of that is we respond to the review. Not in a negative way, not in a hostile way. I mean, there was a barbecue place here in Atlanta.
I was just gonna wonder if you would bring that up. Yes,
there was a barbecue place here in Atlanta that actually got a negative review. I believe it was on Yelp. The lady, and it wasn't a hateful review. It was just a negative review. The response was that they actually went to her personal Facebook page, took her picture off of there, and posted it on their business Facebook page with horrible comments about this woman.
Yeah,
and whether they felt that it was justified or not, customer service nightmare. It was national news. It was everywhere, so definitely bad press with that. So, handling it in a way, though, where because you can actually respond to a negative review and make your business, it makes you look like the better person if you handle it correctly, and it makes that person who left that negative review actually look worse. If you handle it correctly and express that, thanks for their opinion and you'll handle the issue. It's all a matter of responding. You can't bury your head in the sand and hope that those negative reviews are just going to disappear. You've got to respond.
And so if you look at social media, we talked about it needs to be social. But at the same time, what are one or two strategies that companies should be looking at to drive revenue from their social media interactions?
The main thing is that with all social media, it really needs to it needs to go back to your website. You need to be driving traffic to your website because that's where you are either selling products or you're selling, you have services where they can learn more about your company. It can't just be, so that could be, there's so many ways now where you can actually direct people back to an email, to an opt-in list where they can opt in with their email address, where they can go back to the website. So in my opinion, all roads lead back to your website and to, where they can actually purchase those products or services and learn more about you to really kind of direct them, regardless of whether it's on Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, all roads kind of lead back to your website.
Now, expanding that idea just in one more direction here, what about brick and mortar type places? Is there things that a business, maybe a restaurant, for example, should be doing to engage the customer at the point of sale or the point of service? I think about going to a restaurant. I've been to one before. I had a great experience, enjoyed the restaurant immensely, but was not compelled to jump on the social media right that minute and write a review or send in any information. Right. Yet I find myself exactly reversed. If I had a bad experience, I'd be very compelled to do that immediately.
Absolutely.
So are there engagements that companies are missing the opportunity at the point of sale or point of service?
I think that businesses like that, restaurant, food, wine, my husband and I just went to Sonoma a few weeks ago, and one of the things we really noticed out there that companies, either brick and mortar businesses, either ignore social media altogether, or they are engaged and they're doing it in a really smart way. But Yelp, Foursquare, which are some of those types of businesses where you can actually check in and leave a review. One of the things that a lot of companies that I've noticed around here, restaurants that miss out on, is offer a special for that patron if they check in and say that they're at your restaurant or they leave a review right there on the spot. Give them a free drink, give them a free dessert, something, some type of incentive for the customer to actually engage them in a way on social media so that that goes out on their Facebook. If someone checks into Foursquare, typically all of their friends see it on Facebook that they have just checked in there and they just had a wonderful meal. So offering some incentives is a thing that I think restaurants and local businesses are really missing out on right now.
All right. Well, I say we start a campaign for free drinks for tweets.
Free drink. I believe it. That sounds great.
Instead of we'll work for food, we'll tweet for drinks.
Absolutely.
It's the new campaign. Well, great. Well, Shell, I'm going to have some more questions for you, I'm sure. But can you hang out for a minute? I'd like to bring Mike into the conversation and chat with him for a minute, and then we'll probably have some conversation about using social media in a world like his and some branding ideas. So can you hang out for a few?
Absolutely, thank you.
All right, well, actually, I'll take that back. Before I get over to Mike, let me do one more thing. Can you give us your contact info? If somebody's looking for help with their social media, how would they get in touch with you?
The best way is just to go to my website, which is www.socialbugmedia.com. Or please find me on Twitter. You can find me at heyshellybrown.com. Hey Shelly Brown.
Yeah, if you can't find a social media person on social
I'm
media,
on
there's a problem.
Find me on Twitter, yes.
All right, great, Shelly. Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
So, Mike, let me move over to you real quick, and let's find out a little bit about the Country Club of Roswell. Tell us a little bit about what you guys do and how you're doing it.
Sure. We're, the Country Club of Roswell has been there 40 years now. And
so you're getting your feet wet. You're getting the hang of this thing.
Well, I've only been there about 45 days, so my feet are still a little
dry. Oh, well,
dry,
you are getting
new.
I'm
pretty new still.
The Country Club's got it figured out. Mike's still trying to get in the group.
Exactly.
All right, I got it.
Right. So I'm trying to get myself indoctrinated right now into knowing the members and knowing the employees and, just trying to improve all the things that we've been doing for a long time.
Well, man, I want to pause for a second right there because that's really one of the most intelligent things I've heard someone say on the show in a long time that's new to their business is, you know, you didn't open up with, yeah, here's what we do and here's what we provide, and we do want to know that. But that idea of, you know, I'm spending time getting to know the employees, the team, who I'm working with, I mean, that just states a lot about you. Is that something that is cultural throughout the Country Club of Roswell?
Well, it's not yet, but it will be. Absolutely. I think one of the important things that I bring to the table is the opportunity to change the culture of the employees, you know, to make it a more service-oriented club. And don't get me wrong, that I mean, I think the employees there have done a great job for years, but I always think there's room for improvement, and so that's what we're looking for.
Okay. Well, let's talk about what you guys do there at the Country Club. I mean, we've got some listeners out there that have either been a member of a country club or maybe they're currently a member of a country club. We've got those of us who maybe have seen Caddyshack, and that's our impression of it. And those of us that it's just a mystery. We have no idea what goes on behind those gates. So tell us about what goes on at the Roswell Country Club.
Well, you know, the biggest thing I think at the Country Club of Roswell that makes us so different is our membership is so diverse. You know, I was standing in the dining room last night, and we have a couple, an older couple that's probably been members of the club for 30 years. And then right next to them is a table that has a 9-year-old and an 11-year-old. Then the table down from then has got two babies. So it's a very diverse membership. You know, people have created friendships there, and they've been there for, you know, 30 years. And so that's what we sell. We sell relationships, friendships that are really meant to last a lifetime.
Now, is it strictly membership-based, or there can you bring guests? Or are there open days? Can you try it before you buy it? How does that program work?
No, we really try and stay away from the tire kickers, quite honestly. Mm-hmm. We're typically people join our club because they've been invited by another member to come in. Absolutely, members can bring guests and do quite frequently.
Yeah. So that's how they get introduced into the club.
Right, exactly.
Okay. Yep. And what are some of the things that you offer? I mean, I know different clubs offer different things. Some have food, some have tennis, some have golf. I mean, tell us about some of the amenities and services that are there.
Sure. We have on Tuesday evening, for instance, we have a men's golf league that plays. And we have about 72 guys that go out every Tuesday night and do a 9-hole match where they play against two others. And we have the same thing for the ladies on Wednesday nights. And then we have a very active tennis league. We have 13 courts, huge junior program. We've got over 90 kids in our junior golf program. And then our junior tennis program is very similar. We have upwards of 80 kids in it. So it's really, we're more geared towards the families and providing opportunities for the families, as well as taking care of the empty nesters who have been there a while.
Okay. So what if I've got a couple kids and they're not into golf or tennis? Are there things for them to do while mom and dad play golf or tennis?
Oh, absolutely. We have a pool facility that is really second to none in town. We have four pools. There's two giant slides. There's a diving well. And then there's a kids' play area. There's splash pads. So there's all kinds of stuff for the kids to do.
Well, that sounds pretty good. Can the adults do that, too?
Yeah,
I'm thinking I'll forego a 90-degree round of golf and come play on the giant water slide.
Yeah.
You got my attention now.
Exactly. Absolutely. We have kids' camps during the summer for, you know, for the children. So, and they're all-day camps, so mom can drop the kids off and pick them up later in the afternoon.
Okay. Yeah. Any other services or amenities that that people might not be thinking about when they think of a country club?
You know, I think the quality of the food at our place, our chef is John Meyer, and John is just a terrific, talented chef and just does a fabulous job. And, you know, I run into people all over town, and they are always telling me how great the food is there. And so people don't think of that, but we're just a fantastic restaurant. And so that's a great reason to be a member of the club as well.
Well, I loved in your email before coming on the show, I mean, you know, you've got the idea of how to message, right? Because you not only talked about the food being great, but you talked about the beer is cold. And that is important this time of year because we are in the hot months of Atlanta here.
Yeah, absolutely. And the Country Club of Roswell is a real social scene. I mean, you know, our bar there on Friday nights has, you know, 70 or 80 people into a lounge area, and you know, everybody that comes in, everybody knows everybody. You know, everyone is friends, and they know people by name, and they welcome newcomers in. So it really becomes a very family atmosphere for the members.
Now, with a family atmosphere like that, and all the programs that you provide, and you know, as you were talking about, people, some people have been members there for you know 30 years. Have you found that you have weathered this down economy very well? Or, you know, have you guys been impacted as so many other businesses have been?
Well, we've definitely been impacted. You know, every private club around the country, with the exception of very few, has been impacted. And what we've seen from the private clubs in the last few years is, you know, it used to be that dad would join the club and dad made the decision because dad would play golf on Saturday mornings, and then a lot of times he'd play on Sunday as well. And the kids and the wife really weren't welcome, or they did their own thing at home. But now, you know, it's so much more of a family atmosphere that, and that really didn't start until around 2005, 6, 7. And so I think that has really helped country clubs weather the storm. You know, it's not just golf anymore, but it's more about connecting with the kids, connecting with the wife. And a lot of times, quite honestly, the wife is making the decisions for the family to join a club or not. So we're doing our best to appeal to everybody.
So with a member-exclusive community and with a lot of your membership being generated internally by people who, you know, obviously are members and they're bringing people who want to come in and see the facility, and you're kind of avoiding the tire kickers, what is the message that the Country Club of Roswell is trying to get out to the community?
You know, I think we sell a lifestyle, you know, and we don't necessarily – we have a great golf course and great amenities. But if you don't sell an atmosphere, a culture amongst people that are joining a club that makes them want to be a part of that, then I think that they may join, but they won't stay for very long. And so I think that's what CC Roswell has done, that is just makes us so much different. And I could tell it in my first day on the job that there's just a spirit amongst the members that is different than other places I've been to.
Well, that's a great point. I mean, we were just talking on a previous show today about hiring, and we were talking about how the companies are starting to hire for culture. In fact, that's been a theme for quite a while now, where people are coming in and talking about the culture being so much more important than the skill set, and not only from the people doing the hiring, but the people taking the jobs. People are not just looking for the pay and the job description, but they're looking for a place where the culture fits what they're looking for. They're going to enjoy the workplace. How do you, I mean, that's from a business sense, but let's talk about from the country club sense. How do you create that culture amongst the members and facilitate this organization that people really want to be a part of?
You know, I think the culture amongst the members is there already, and I think that it will continue to become more and more diverse as more and more young folks join the club. But I think one of the things that we've tried to do, and we've already started, is to create like a new employee orientation for our new staff when they come in. We're going to have our new staff read the book Raving Fans, and they'll be tested on it. And so we'll be going through some customer service training. So from that standpoint, that's the culture I feel like that I can have the most influence on, and our management team can. So that's really where we're trying to focus and make ourselves different.
So talking about being different, you know, let's kind of dig in here. How do you guys address the younger crowd? And, you know, I'm not just thinking kids here. I'm really thinking kind of beyond that. I'm thinking, you know, the college grad, you know, kind of that I'm starting my career out and I'm trying to get my roots. Because we've kind of seen a divergence, right? We've seen a younger culture that's kind of moved in different directions and interests than what the traditional mom and dad did. I mean, how are you drawing those kids and those professionals and those young adults into the club?
Right. No, it's a great question, and it's an area that we actually have what we call intermediate memberships, and basically that's another name for a junior membership. And so we offer preferred pricing starting at age 21. So we give a price for someone that's age 21 to 29, and so it's less to join, so the initiation fee is less, the monthly dues are less. And then we have another category from 30 to 35. That's another step up, and then 36 to 39. So really it gives someone who's starting out in their career, or maybe they're starting a new family and they don't necessarily have the funds to put a lot of money down to join a club, they can. It's very affordable now for them to do that. So we've created those intermediate junior categories just for that reason.
So someone is thinking that joining a country club might be a great idea for themselves or their family, or maybe they are one of these young professionals just getting started out. How would they go about connecting with you guys? Is there a connection to reach out directly, or do they need to go through a member? How do I get involved?
Well, Melissa Leibarger is our membership director, and you could call the club at 770-475-7800. And ask for Melissa, or you can just go to our website, which is ccroswell.com.
All right, great. Well, I want to come back to this idea of social media, because obviously there is a branding, there's a messaging that's involved with a country club, and you know, a way to interact with members. And social media is probably a new spin for country clubs, mm-hmm. because you know, they've never had to, all the communication, I guess, has been internal previously, right? Now there's an opportunity to engage your audience when they're away from the club. And Shelley, jump in at any time here as we kind of dig in here. But Mike, can you share with us, or is there a social media outlet for the Country Club of Roswell?
There absolutely is. And as Shelley and I were talking about before we came on, I mean, there's some opportunities for, I think, clubs to engage further. But you're seeing more and more clubs use Facebook. We use Facebook. We have our own Facebook page that if you just search for CC Roswell, you can find it and like us, and then you'll get all our Facebook messages, and we also use Twitter. We have a website that is really our primary means of marketing to our members. And, you know, like you said, most of ours is internal marketing. We do several email blasts to the members. We try not to inundate them with too much of that, but that's really our three or four main ways of marketing the club.
Do you find a good interaction in your social media from your members? Are they participatory in Twitter and Facebook with you, or are they just kind of like and then they're voyeurs after that, or they just watch to see what's going on?
You know, I would say Facebook has been marginally successful for us. Twitter, not so much. Really, the majority of our success comes through doing email blast internally to the members, and then also the use of our website.
Okay, so Shelley, here we are. This is kind of what we were talking about, a company that maybe is not ready for social media or shouldn't be on social media. I mean, help me interpret this. If I've got a business and traditionally it's been internally marketing, you know, right. and talking to my members that way, I've got a Twitter page. How do I get people to interact with me, and should I? So take us down that strategy road.
I think the main focus is, you know, keeping the content fun and helpful. I mean, I don't know if there's golf. I know nothing about golf, which is what I was sharing. We discussed before we came on as well. But
I just know the beer girl comes around once in a while.
I usually just drive the cart.
There you go.
But anyway, the thing would be, you know, what type of, you know, are you posting photos? What type of things do you post on your Facebook?
That's really all we post is photos and just results from tournaments, and could be a party or a social function at the club, and so that's typically what we'll post. So people go on there to see their own picture, especially if they've been at that event.
So based on kind of what he said, you know, we would definitely work to make sure you're getting most of your new members from existing members, right? Okay, so, and from your email list.
Right.
Yes. So we would work on, you know, driving the traffic. Do you have a way to capture their email on your website where they can sign up for a newsletter that way?
Well, what they can do is just fill out a request for information, and so then we follow it back up with an email or a phone call.
Okay, so people could subscribe to an email list where there could be an incentive there, sign up for specials or to know what our events are that are going on, and really use Facebook to drive that traffic to your website, to your email list, and then really work, we'd really work on, I guess, on creating some incentives for your current members on spreading the word to get them to bring bring friends to your, not only to your Facebook page, but obviously to ultimately join the club as well.
Right, yeah. Right.
That'd be the focus.
Yeah, well, that's a great point. I mean, and maybe you can expand on some of those ideas a little bit without, you know, giving away too much of what you charge for.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, Mike's like, no, I'm taking notes over here, right? But you know, when Mike talked about putting the pictures up, it kind of brought to mind what I said, the idea that a lot of people on social media they're voyeurs. I mean, they don't really engage. They're just there to watch and they read comments. But there's nothing that forces them or even encourages them oftentimes to do anything, to get involved, to put a comment. I mean, in fact, a lot of times you'll see more likes on a post than you'll see comments on
Absolutely.
A post. So how do you pull that user in and get them to engage or, like you said, come to the website?
Well, starting off by using the photos and videos definitely are the best way to, I guess, create the engagement. But then also not just posting a photo, asking a question along with that, you know, comment, tell us what your favorite, you know, tell us what you like the most about Country Club of Roswell, or what are even a question, or what are you doing over the weekend? You know, personal questions that don't necessarily have a lot to do with the Country Club of Roswell, but what it begins to do is it creates that engagement, because customers before are not, they're not used to, consumers are not used to interacting with the businesses. I mean, up until recently with social media, you know, you went into a business and you, or you ordered something online and that was it. There was no further interaction. You didn't really get to know the business and who was behind the business. Up until social media, it's kind of forcing, you know, forcing people, forcing companies, whether they want to be exposed or not, right? So I think that the main thing would be, you know, what can you do to, with certain types of messages that you post and your consistency. That's one of the things that helps engagement as well, is what time of the day, when are your fans actually on Facebook? And you can, you know, we can run, we run stats to actually see, well, when do they seem to comment the most, or when do they like your photos the most? What time of day is that? Because you may have a lot of business, you know, people, business professionals who are at work, they're not, hopefully not on Facebook during the day. So, you know, posting a photo at night or something like that might be a better, or asking a question at night when more people are actually on Facebook would probably yield a better response and increase the engagement.
Yeah, so Mike, not everything is probably one-to-one engagement like that. Sometimes it's more event-focused, right? Like I think you guys have what, the Judson Intercollegiate Invitational coming up. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about that, and are there other events that you guys host there at the Country Club?
Yes, for the Judson, now we did host it. Actually, it was in mid-July. Very successful event. It was the Legends Tour, which is the Nancy Lopez, the Amy Alcotts, the Jan Stevensons, former Hall of Famers from the LPGA. So they came and they played with the collegiate players, some of the top college players all around the country came in for the event. So we absolutely took advantage of all our social media to promote that. In fact, we had a media day, and you know, the newspaper came, and some of the local media came as well. So we did our best to promote that, those kind of things. And great event, raised money for charity, and it looks like we're going to continue to host that event on an annual basis.
Now, was social media part of the campaign with that as well?
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely.
Did you find a particular strategy successful, or maybe not successful?
You know,
like if you had to do over again, what would you do the same or change?
I'd only been here about 10 days when we had this event, so I must say I wasn't as completely as involved as I will be the next year. But that's one of the things that we probably don't do as good a job as we could, is tracking from a social media standpoint what's successful and what's not. You know, we use it, but I'm not sure that. Because when you asked me the question earlier and I said, you know, Facebook, I think we're marginally successful, that's just kind of a wag, you know. It's just kind of a guess. I'm not really sure.
Right.
Because I really don't have any means of tracking it. And the same thing for Twitter. We're trying to appeal to a broad audience and trying to use all the different ways of doing that. But I don't think we've really found out what's the best way to track it.
Well, I'm glad you brought that point up, Shelley. I mean, what does a business do to make sure that, I mean, and this should be true, obviously, in any marketing that they're doing, but right. From social, how do they evaluate the return they're getting on the investment of social media?
Well, Facebook in particular actually has, they do have internal analytics that you can actually look at to determine how popular a post is that you might make. You know, so, or what time of day, even the demographics, is it more men than women? What's the age? Because Facebook knows everything about you, unfortunately, right? So, you know, you can really find out about who your market is, actually who's on your Facebook page. With Social Bug Media, we actually run, you know, we have a different type of tool that we use where we can run analytics on everything, every social media platform out there. So with Twitter, you know, I know what percentage of men are following me on Twitter and what percentage of women, and what the age, you know, the age range and everything. So,
well, Shelley, we found out from Mike how they get their business, obviously through members, a lot of internal marketing. You know, how does a company like Social Bug find companies that, I mean, there are tons of them out there, obviously, that need help, mm-hmm. but how do you get the 5 minutes in front of them to explain what you do and be able to actually help them?
Well, obviously, you know, you focus on, you know, a lot of my businesses come from, you know, one happy client returns into, you know, 10. And so, you know, word of mouth, even, which social media is word of mouth as well. You know, it definitely, you know, that's how I've gotten a lot of my clients. One of the things that I was telling him that we, you know, before we came on the air, was that I actually have a lot of success with LinkedIn. Because it's more business to business type of thing. There's a lot more business professionals, and I don't care about playing Farmville on Facebook. So, you know, and some of the games that are out there on social media. So, I have more success actually with LinkedIn and with Twitter, with actually making connections with people, that might be good for for future business partnerships and that type of thing on Twitter. But with local businesses, I have a lot of success with LinkedIn.
Okay, well, great. Well, let's talk about this idea of, you know, breaking the rules of conventional thinking. Obviously, it's a theme for our show here, and I mentioned it to you guys earlier. So if you're looking at your business or maybe just your own personal thought process for building a business or building culture within that business, maybe we can leave our listeners with a little nugget, something that you guys do or believe or a philosophy you have that is outside of a traditional norm compared to what everyone else is following inside of your industry. And I'll let either one of you go first. I'm looking at Mike, but...
Well, I'll take a shot at that. The you know, one of the things I think that is unique about the private club business, and we're a 501c7, so we're a not-for-profit club, is, you know, if you looked at our restaurant and just from a financial standpoint and you said, okay, well, there's no way you would ever open up a restaurant and you would only allow 600 customers to come because you'd have no chance. So our business, a lot of our business is unique because so many of our amenities are not to make money. They're actually an amenity that makes somebody want to join the club and be willing to pay dues. So I think that's what makes us unique. And sometimes, you know, we have to remind the powers to be at a club that says, you know, if we break even in food and beverage, we've really done a good job. And the fact that we lose $100,000 in the pool operation a year is okay, because if we can sell 30 or 40 memberships as a result of that and people that are willing to pay the dues, then it makes up all that. So I think that's what makes us unique. And, you know, it's not I don't think anybody would go out there and open a private country club to make money, but I think it's certainly a great amenity for people that are looking for that kind of lifestyle.
Well, that is non-conventional, and I think it'd be interesting to see a lot of companies held to that standard. If you could take profits off the table and you had to justify your business with quality of service or quality of product, could you do it? That's a very interesting concept.
Yeah.
Nice. Shelley, what about you?
Well, I think that, you know, any, you know, companies out there, I guess what differentiates, you know, Social Bug from most of the social media and marketing type of companies out there is that although we're all trying to sell a product and service, I am pretty much the anti-sales. I just cannot stand, you know, for people to come across looking like a salesperson, a desperate salesperson. And so I'm really focused with everything that we do to make sure we're creating a message and we're actually building rapport with people. We're listening to customers. We're communicating well. And yes, the end result is that you want people to buy your products or your services. But I just want to make sure that everything that we do is, you know, we're not acting like the typical salesperson, I guess, where we're just so focused on pushing our message and that we can't hear what the customer's actual needs are.
Well, those are two very good points. One, you know, not pushing. I guess there's an industry that maybe that thrives in, but you know, for the most part, people want to feel like they're part of it. Kind of goes to the social idea, right? They want to feel like it's an exchange and an interaction. But, you know, I also think of the caricature of this desperate salesperson, which I can paint in my mind. And, and you're so right. I mean, that's a thought that I'd like all of our listeners to pay attention to. You know, if you're in sales, and pretty much all of you are, if you have a business, because you've got some product or service you sell, otherwise you're not making any money, you're not really in business, but that's a whole nother show. But if you are desperate in your approach to your clients, you reek of it. I mean, people smell it on you a mile away. It is a big put off. You know, even if you are desperate, at least cover it up. Don't act desperate in front of your client. sage advice for the day. Do not come off desperate.
Absolutely.
Well, guys, this was a great show. I really appreciate you guys being on today. Let's give people contact information one more time. So if they're interested either in membership at the Country Club or their social media is a mess, how do they get in touch with you guys? Mike, let me start with you this time.
Country Club of Roswell, our phone number is 770-475-7800, and you can always visit our website at www.ccroswell.com.
Awesome. Shelley?
Social Bug Media. You can find us on the web at www.socialbugmedia.com. You can also reach me at 678-467-6709.
All right. Well, fantastic. Those of you out there listening, I hope you will join us each and every Thursday at noon for Renegade Radio. In fact, keep an eye out because we do some special episodes once in a while. For example, we're going to be back on at 2 o'clock today. So come back and join us for that show. As always, remember, opportunity lies in the impossible, but you have to be willing to break the rules of conventional thinking. Until next time.